Welcome to Puentes, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guest on this edition, I'm very proud to say, is 93-year-old retired legislator, educator, community leader, and arts patron, J. Paul Taylor. He was born on August 24, 1920, in Chamberino. It's just south of Las Cruces. Paul is the youngest of six children. And he's got quite a lifetime of accomplishments. Thank you for joining me on Puentes.
Glad to be here, Amelia.
Tell me more about your growing up, and then you met Mary, your children, and what's very important now in the community is that you have the Taylor Barela Reynolds Macias State Monument. We'll go into that afterwards, but you have quite a history. We're sitting here in your dining room.
Yes, and it's a long way from the time of my birth. I was born in Chamberino, New Mexico, which is just down the road. We've always called that home, too. I have two homes, Chamberino and Mesilla, but Mesilla's been my home longer than Chamberino. We moved here because of the culture, which is part of our culture. I remember having been approached by a good friend who said, "I don't know why you're moving to Mesilla. I don't think it's a place for you to raise your children." And I said, "Raise my children? It's part of my culture. It's the exact place that Mary and I want to raise our children." And that ended the conversation, but a few weeks later, we were in the middle of renovating our house, and this friend came with another friend. They had just come from church. They were all dressed up. I looked like I was a working man. I had dirt in my hair. I had a hammer in my hand. And so here they came. So they looked around, and I'm sure afterwards they thought, "It's just like I thought. This is a terrible place for Paul and Mary to raise their children." We had three. That was 1953, and that first house, you know, we've renovated two. One was on the corner of Calle de Arroyo and Parian, and then this one. And we loved that little house. However, we were outgrowing it. We had three children, and Mrs. Aladib, who lived in the house in which we live now, approached us and said, "You know, you're getting to be a big family, and my house is too big for me. And would you be interested in buying it?" And I said, "Yes." Of course, I had to think of where would I get the money to buy it. But we did buy it, and she was a wonderful neighbor. She had really had an ill experience of living here. And this was, she just felt she needed a near neighbor.
Now, you said that you didn't know where you were going to get the money to buy this. At the time, what were you working at?
At the time, I was associate registrar at New Mexico State. I started at New Mexico State, and President Branson asked me to come back. I'd been a student assistant there. I had gone into the service, and he asked when I retired if I would be interested in coming as a full-time associate in the registrar's department. Well, I really jumped at the chance. I wanted to get home. I liked NMSU. I had graduated there. So I got this job at a wonderful amount of pay. It was $2,400 a year. I thought that was okay. As time went on, it went up a little. But at that time, you have to remember, that was 1945, and salaries were low, and jobs were scarce. And I was delighted to have it and enjoyed it for 5 years. And then I went into the teaching school, which I had prepared for.
How long did you teach?
I taught, I think, 38 years. Well, I started as a sixth grade teacher for 3 years at Mesilla Park School. Then I went to Doñana School, where I was a teaching principal. That meant that you taught and principaled. You did everything from taking care of the library to all kinds of management things. And I loved it there. And those children, except their grandparents now, are very close to me still. And we still have get-togethers.
So then from teaching after 30-some years, then you became a New Mexico State representative, a legislator. How did you get involved with that?
It really was not my doings. Mary Helen Garcia came to see me one day, and she said, "Paul, you're retiring. We think you should run for governor." I said, "Mary Helen, don't be absurd. I'm not running for governor. I'm just interested in retirement. I want to write. I have a patio to take care of. And that's all I'm interested in." And she said, "Okay." But she was back in 3 weeks. And she said, "Paul, the state representative spot is open. And I've talked to your folks, and they think you ought to run." And she said, "And I think you ought to run." I said, "Mary Helen, why don't you just leave me alone? I'm content to write and work in the garden." And she said, "No, we really need some representation." And so I said, "Well, let me think about it." And in the meantime, the family thought it was important to do that, so I did.
What led you to get to that point? Had you been doing a lot of community service? What made her think that you would make a good legislator?
Well, I was very interested in education, and I had been president of what was then the New Mexico Education Association, and so I had worked in the legislature on behalf of children and teachers. And I presume that was one thing. I had also been a town trustee for 20 years. So that's a Mesilla town trustee. We have to get Mesilla in there. So I presume she thought, "Well, you have the background. You've been an educator." I was associate superintendent for instruction in the Las Cruces schools at that time. So I finally decided I would do that. I retired and then went to the legislature.
So that was one of your passions then, to be an advocate for the elderly and for children. Children was your first passion, was that not?
Children always, because I was a teacher. But I was very interested in health and human services. And I was chairman of that committee off and on. I don't know if you know how that works, but one session, someone from the House is the chair of committees. This is Health and Human Services. The next year, the representative from the Senate is the chair. So I had been chair off and on for Health and Human Services. And what I found was just amazingly frightening to me. Well, elderly people were not being well cared for. Children were not being well cared for. Now, when I say not being well cared for, I mean by some parents. And so I carried the abuse bills, and I carried the Alzheimer's bills. I carried every Alzheimer's bill. And what I was trying to do was bring home health to the homes of these people so that they could have home care if they couldn't get to the doctor. So that was one of my broad interests. And of course, the health bill, you know, was coming up.
So what year did you become elected to New Mexico State Representative?
In 1986.
And how long did you do that?
For 18 years.
So for 18 years, an advocate for the people. You've retired from doing this at least 10 years ago, wasn't it, about 2004?
Yes. And I still have a great interest because, well, I just care about people. But also I had two other really great interests. One was education. And I carried the first bill on early childhood. And then I carried the bill on the half-day kindergarten, the next year on full-day kindergarten. So I really felt that if children had a Head Start, and I had worked with the Head Start all the time I was in the public schools, so I knew if they had a Head Start, a real connection with parents, and parents understood the importance of how children were treated at home, and they could be helpful at school. It would be very helpful for the child. So that was another interest. The other interest was the Office of Cultural Affairs. And I eventually carried the bill which became the current bill, which is the Office of Cultural Affairs, when we have this broad interest in cultural affairs, which includes Farm and Ranch, which includes the Spanish Arts Bill in Albuquerque, and then it includes all the museums. So I carried that bill, and I had been a regent on the Board of Regents of the museums years before, and then I went off that board, and I'm back on it. So I have until 2015, I will be 95, and it'll be time for me to go off.
To actually retire. Now, being on these boards and museums, and what was the interest of making your home a museum?
Well, we had worked very hard on our home on the plaza, and you're familiar with our home. There are two commercial buildings which face the street. We had a meeting with our family. What should we do with this home? We had antiques, we had paintings, we had a lot of family memorabilia, and so that meant we had seven children by then. We had lost John later. We had four boys, Robert, Mike, John, and Pat. Three girls, all Marys, Mary Dolores, Mary Ellen, Rosemary. My wife was Mary, her mother was Mary. Mary Daniels. The oldest is Robert, who lives in Mesilla. The second is Mary Dolores, who lives here. The third is Michael Romero, who lives in Santa Fe. The fourth is Mary Helen, who lives here, just back of us. And after Mary Helen was John, and then Pat, and then Rosemary. So here we had this house, and we had all these wonderful things. I thought they were wonderful, which needed to be preserved. And so, as I mentioned before, we gathered in the Sala Grande, and all our seven children with Mary. Mary wasn't well then, but with Mary and with me. And said, what do you think we should do with the house? You were reared in it. We have all these, what we consider treasures, a lot of people think. So we said, well, what do you think we should do with the house and the two commercial buildings? And so they thought of the university. And I'm very close to the university. But I knew that they would have to sell the house, and the money would go into the foundation, and I wanted to keep it intact. We thought of the church, but the church would have trouble keeping it up. So Michael Romero Taylor, and he had been deputy director of the Monuments Division, which was part of the Museum of New Mexico. And so we were familiar, and I had been a regent. So that was suggested, and we made the determination to give it to the Museum of New Mexico. They all thought that would be the thing to do, with the provision that we could live here as long as we lived. And there were other provisions in it also, which meant a lot to us. And it even involved our ashes and where would they be deposited and that sort of thing. So we approached the museum. They were very interested. You know, the plaza is a state monument, but it's owned by the town. So they have no control over the plaza. And so this sort of goes hand in hand with the plaza, but this would be owned by the Museum of New Mexico. But we felt that it would serve Mesilla in a positive way. So those two things sort of went together. They were delighted to have it. We had our lawyer, they had their lawyer, and we batted things back and forth and finally came to a complete agreement and had a meeting in Santa Fe to finalize the action. And then it went to the Board of Regents of the museum where the agreement was signed.
J. Paul Taylor, Living History, Part 1, also available on our webpage, krwg.org. To listen, click on Puentes for this conversation and others. For KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.